How could something that feels so right turn out so wrong? We're in this series about relationships, and they're complicated. And today we're going to talk about something that really complicates relationships. We're going to talk about money. In relationships, one person says we should spend more. One person says we should spend less. How much should we save? Money complicates things. Families can fly apart over the topic of money. Friendships can be lost over the topic of money. And we started out with this one diagram I want to show you in its complicated series, saying that if two people, a husband and wife, they move towards God, they get closer. So you got these two people, and if they move towards God, they get closer. But here's what oftentimes relationships look like when it comes to money. You have people, and they feel like if they move towards the money, they'll get closer, but they don't. It just gets more and more complicated. Today we're going to talk about money, how it's in relationships, and what it looks like. And it's the big idea, right in your notes, our focus determines our financial peace. So what we're focused on determines our... And Jesus had a lot to say about money. Let me read you something that he said. So don't worry saying, what will you eat? Or what will you drink? What will you wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I don't know if you could hear that from God when he says, I want you to relax, if you could picture him that way, that he'd say, just relax when it comes to money. I know with our culture, it's about getting. I've got to get more and more money, so I'll be prepared, and I got to have all the money I can get, and it's all about getting. And Jesus comes, and he says, it's completely different. If you want financial peace, you have to shift your focus from trying to get everything and understand that God wants to give you. It's a shift in focus. I'm not focused on what can I get. I've got to get it. But he shifts everyone and says, just relax for a moment and focus on this. God wants to give you things. God wants to take care of you. He wants to give you, which is entirely different. The entire message of Jesus is founded on giving, not getting. It's not what you do. It's what he has done for you. It's not what you can get. It's what he's willing to give. Look, there's a verse in your Bible. It says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I brought a little example today. I wish I could say I wrapped that, but I didn't. And obviously it was wrapped by a woman, not a man. And but it's a gift. And what Jesus is saying is that God's grace is a gift. You can't earn it. No one can boast about it because no one's done anything to deserve it. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how many sins you think you've done or not done. Grace, God's grace, is a gift. Now, like any gift, it has to be received to be experienced. So this could be your gift right here. You might be wondering what's inside of it, and this could be your gift, but you'll never know unless you receive it. It could have your name on it. I could want you to have it. I could tell you don't have to do anything to earn it. You can't buy it. It's yours. But you can only experience it if you choose to receive it. And when it comes to God's grace, what Jesus is trying to say is that if you could realign your focus on all the things that God wants to give you, instead of all the things you're trying to get, that when it comes to money and our relationships, it's not about me getting the things I need. It's about believing and trusting that God will give me the things that I need, and that creates financial peace. But it does take a shift because money can push you around and get your attention. So let's look at a couple things to keep our focus there. Write your notes. What do I treasure the most? Here's Jesus talking. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin, whoever wrote this must have been a kind of a redneck, do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus is talking about where we focus ourselves. And you can focus your heart on God, and you can focus your heart on yourself. And he's saying where you focus will determine where your treasure is. What is it that you treasure the most in life? Here's one of the ways you can find out. When you spend your money, what do you spend your money on, and it's just effortless to spend it? Man, that money just flies right out of your pocket. Maybe when you buy a new video game or something, it's just, or you go play golf, man, it's just nothing to run that card. It's just guns. You're going to go hunting, camping. Oh, it's easy to do. Here's an example. Because there's the things that you spend money on that isn't effortlessly. So for me, if I'm going to go to see the Jazz play basketball, that's easy to spend that money. I mean, I put that money down. It just flies out of my wallet. That is so easy. Buying Jazz tickets for me is an effortless thing. It's so easy for me to spend that money. But if I have to spend money on tickets to the ballet, that's not as easy for me. You know, and I try to tell myself, it's like, okay, I'm going to get the tickets because my wife is really going to like it, and we're going to do something different. We're going to get all dressed up, and I'm going to wear a tie, and we're going to go out to dinner, and it's going to be this super good night. She's going to be super, super surprised. And the more I talk, I'm like, I'm wondering if I could talk her into going to the Jazz game. Where do you spend your money, and it's just effortlessly for you to spend it? And where do you spend your money, it's difficult for you to spend it? Where your heart is your treasure. What Jesus is saying is that money is like a mirror. If you follow the money, you can kind of see who you are. It's like a mirror of who you are and what you're like. Because where you have your treasure is who you are. In your life, what do you treasure? Your money just sort of easily flows that direction. And what Jesus is saying is that if you can focus on God as a giver and not getting all the time. And really, that's the whole misconception about tithing. This idea of tithing, I guess you can't have a talk without talking about tithing, is that you know, God wants to get our money. God wants to make sure that, you know, he has all of our money. And look, there's a scripture in the Bible. The purpose of tithing, look at there. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. You know, tithing was around a long time before there was a church. Way back in the day, when people were still raising animals and crops. They used to bring a portion of their crops and their animals to God, a tenth, a tithe. And they would thank God for participating in their life, and they had enough. There was this pattern then that would develop. You know, they'd be with God and everything would go along just fine. They'd have more than they needed. And then they would start to drift away as things got better. And now they have more animals than they need, and they have more crops than they need, and they start to drift away. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a drought. Or the animals get sick. But they've drifted far enough away. Now they're like, how do I turn back to God? How do I talk to him? I don't feel like God is with me. You fast forward into history, now we have money, we have silver, and we have gold coins, and people would share their life with God, and God helps me get my money, and they're together, then they get more and more and more, and they start to drift. Well, it's a pattern. They drift away, and oh, there's a downturn in the economy. I don't have enough money. How do I turn back to God? Or even today, there's more and more things that I have to have. So we put it on the charge card. We got our credit cards maxed out, but we can make our payments so it's okay. And everything's going just fine. And the economy collapses. And now I'm having a hard time paying my bills. But I've drifted a long ways away from God. I don't know how to get back to it. See, right in your notes, tithing is meant to help us stay close to God. There's this huge misconception about it, that it's about church, and it's not, or about control. I don't know, like if you're with someone, maybe they're the spender and you're the saver. For some people, you could just watch how they spend their money and you can kind of see who they are. If you're the saver, some people, that's what their life is all about. That's what they treasure, their savings account. It's like if they have more and more money in their savings account, that's what's important, Because if I have a lot of money in my savings account, it makes me feel like I can control my future. Because if I have a lot of money in my savings account, now no matter what happens to me in the future, I'll be ready for it. So I put all my money into savings. And have you ever noticed, though, that the more I try to save up, the scarier the future seems? Like, oh, I don't know, but what if I may not have enough? And you're just constantly trying to make enough happen. And you know when you can never make enough happen if you're trying to make enough out of fear. And Jesus really knew all that, and God knows that, and he creates this tithe. And I want to read something too, because there's a lot of misunderstandings about tithing. It's like that tithing is a way to control people. You know, or tithing is about you can't control people with grace. Grace was never meant to give us control. When you decide to receive God's grace, it won't make you feel like you have control. But when you decide to trust God, it will cause you to feel secure. It's when you can say, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. It's grace. And there's this huge misconception that tithing was about trying to control somebody or about the church. Nothing could be further. Here's the attitude behind tithing. I'll read it out of the Bible. It's in your notes. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver. In the Bible, a cheerful giver, not a fearful giver. I was looking through the connection cards one week, and I always look through them to pray for people. And there was a person that had written on the connection card that they were afraid if they had given enough money that God was going to be angry with them. So I took a chance, and I called them up. And I said, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I read what you put on the connection card. And they started to tell me that they were raised in an environment where you were really pressured to give at church, and a lot of guilt tactics. And they always wondered if they were giving enough money, if God was mad at them, if somehow he was going to shun them, push them aside, because they didn't give enough money. And I don't know why churches use pressure tactics with people when it comes to giving. Because the Bible says don't pressure people. See, God doesn't want my money. He wants me. He doesn't want my money. He wants my heart. And if I give because someone's put a guilt trip on me, it's not good for my heart. The Bible says don't pressure people to give. Don't even give if you feel pressure. So I'm talking to this person. I said, well, tell me a little about your background. And it's just so tied up in knots. And every time I come to church, I don't know how much money is enough money to give. And I said, listen, I want you to try something. Stop giving. And they're like, I think it was a little weird for them because they're like, aren't you like a church leader guy? Aren't you supposed to be trying to get my money? And I'm like, no, I was just like, I work for God. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. Stop giving. Just don't give. I want you to try something. Stop giving money. And see how God treats you. Because you've been giving pressured and out of guilt, it's not helping your heart, it's hurting your heart. And if you've been a part of an organization, any organization, a family or a church, and they've pressured you and guilt-tripped you, I'm sorry that you had to go through that. Because it's unbiblical. God doesn't pressure anybody. He knows that ruins our heart. And doesn't it make sense? If you're a parent, okay? You're a parent. Like, when you call your children, think about when you call your children, do you want them to be afraid of you? Think of all the, like maybe you own a pet, all the pet people in the room, you got a pet. When you call your dog, You want your dog to cower in the corner as scared of you? When you call your cat, they can't call a cat, they're too stupid, but sorry. They're a demonic animal anyways. But anyways, I'm just saying, like if you're a parent, when you call your children, do you want to be afraid of you and scared of you? And am I doing enough? Do my parents love me? Are they angry with me? Do you want that? God's no different. And if somewhere in your future, some church or an organization or some person somewhere pressured you, man, just know that's not God's heart. That's not God's heart. Because he wants to approach you and have you want to approach him. See, that's the whole idea. That's what tithing was all about. Tithing was instigated so I could connect with God through life, because he knows I drift. I drift all the time. And the next thing you know, I've drifted far enough away, and I don't feel like I can go back to him. I don't know what to say to him, or I don't remember how to go back to him. And now I'm carrying the weight of the world all by myself, trying to pay all my bills all by myself. And God, he said, I know that occurs. So I want to create a bridge between us. So you'd know how much I care about you, love you. I've got your back. That's what tithing is about. And giving. And so it's a focus point. Where do I treasure? Because wherever my treasure is, think about if someone gave you $5,000 stock in Coca-Cola. I like to drink Coca-Cola, but I never care about the company. I couldn't tell you anything about Coca-Cola other than the fact I like it a lot. But that's it. But if someone gave me $5,000 stock in Coca-Cola, I'll tell you about every other day, I'd be looking online, how's my stock doing? I would have a renewed interest because some of my treasure was there. And it's the same with God. Now, number two, write in your notes. It's about generosity. How generous I am. Two questions. First question was, what do I treasure most? Second question is, how generous am I? I'll read this to you. Tell them to do good, to be rich in the good things they do, to be generous, and to share with others. When they do these things, they will save a treasure. There it is, circle it. For themselves. That is a good foundation for the future. That way they can take hold of what is truly life. It says the word treasure again. Then I'll continue in your notes. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Boy, and that's so true. To focus on generosity, to have financial peace. There's a researcher at Stanford that did a study, kind of interesting. He called it social comparison theory. And he did this huge research project with people on how it is that we compare ourselves. And he said it's sort of like a ladder. He said, it's like we're all on a ladder. And he said, when you're on a ladder, and it comes to morality, he said, we all compare ourselves to people below us on the ladder. So when it comes to moral, we all say, well, I'm not as bad as the mass murderers. I'm not as mad as, I'm not as bad as, Raider fans. I'm not as bad as those guys. When we're on the ladder of morality, I'm not as bad as the drug dealers. I'm not as bad as her. It's just 9 kids and 6 husbands. And, we look down. But the study showed that when we compare ourselves financially, we compare ourselves to people above us on the ladder. It keeps us always wanting more. It keeps us always feeling like, I don't have enough. They have more than me. One of the byproducts of generosity is it takes my focus off myself and puts it onto other people. And a lot of people that are in need and a lot of people that I can help and be something for. Because naturally, we all tend to look up the ladder and say, they have more than I have. We've been fortunate. We moved into a new house 6 months ago. And, you know, we saved and planned and worked hard and did everything we could. And probably 8 or 9 months ago, I thought, there's just no way we're ever going to get a house. This is never going to happen. And we're praying about it. And I can't even tell you this day how God pulled the whole thing off. But we have this new house we get to live in. It's awesome. New construction areas. We have this new house. And, you know, sometimes I just walk through it and say, man, God, this is like one of the biggest miracles you've ever done. I mean, this is just awesome. You know, I got my new house. And the other day I'm driving into the cul-de-sac. We were the first house built in the cul-de-sac. So, you know, now they're starting to build some other houses in the cul-de-sac. And the other day I'm driving into the cul-de-sac and I see my house up front and I see it up there and I'm driving. I'm like, wow, man, God, this is awesome. I got a house, you know, and I'm driving up there. And all of a sudden I notice the house on the right is lots bigger than mine. And I was like, wow, look at the size of that house. And then they started building the house on the left, and this thing's like ginormous. It's like a you know, Utah house. You know, it's just like, wow. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm not even noticing my house anymore. I'm like, man, that house has got a 3-car garage. I only got a 2-car garage. It's a rich person problem, by the way. And so, you know, I'm like, and it was amazing to me that how I started to compare myself up the ladder. And pretty soon it was like, I've forgotten the gift that God gave me. I was so preoccupied with what somebody else had. Look at the size of their house. Look at their yard. They've got more than I have. And I forgot all about the house that I had and that God had given me, because we tend to compare ourselves to people that have more than we do. And it causes us to want more and be anything but peaceful and grateful. And generosity breaks that. About 5 years ago, God started to sort of amp it up with me when it came to generosity. He started with asking me to give all my change away. I've told you before, I store all my change and I don't spend any of it. And then at different times, God will ask me to give it away. And several years ago, there was a high school girl in our church, and she needed a place to live. And so, you know, God tugged on our heart and said, we want you to take her in. And it was a stretch financially, but we brought her into our house. She was a senior in high school. I was definitely not ready for a girl. I've got 2 boys, girls and cats and stuff like that. And anyways, I'm trying to figure out how to deal with a teenage girl and you know, she's living in our home, and you know, she's going to graduate from high school, and she's going to go to college. And she comes from her family. They don't have enough money to send her to college. And God tells me, I want you to help her go to college. I want you to make sure she can go to college. You're going to be her provision to go to college. And I'm like, well, Lord, I haven't been saving for this. I don't have the money for this to occur. And God said, no, you're the person I'm going to use. So off to college she goes, and the first year comes and takes all the money, and who knows where the money comes from, and we're taking out loans and getting her through school. The second year comes, and I'm waiting, you know, like, God, are you going to do something, give me a raise, something like that? None of that happens. It's a stretch, and we're being generous, and we're paying for her books and paying for all her stuff. She's going, I got little kids in my house, and I'm sending somebody to college. You know, I didn't give birth to the girl, you know, it's like, but she's going to college, and we're taking care of her. And God, through the whole process, I'm trying to help you be generous and take your heart off just yourself. Do you know all the money that God gives you is not intended for you? There's other plans for it. If you want to have financial peace, you have to understand that some of what God gives you is for other people. And that wasn't easy for me to learn. I came from a lower than middle class family. I had free lunches when I was in school. It was embarrassing. You know, I didn't have the house that somebody else had. Our family didn't have the car that somebody else. I was always comparing myself to other people. Am I good enough? You know, I don't have what they have. And I was caught in the ladder. And I come to be with Jesus, and I think, now Jesus is going to make me like everybody else. And he's coming, and he's taking a completely different route. I'm going to I'm going to teach you to be, I'm going to give you a lot, and some of it's not going to be for you. That indirectly, I'm going to use it for others, but it's going to change you. So back to my story. I'm in my car, and I'm looking at the houses on my right and left, and I'm getting more and more discouraged and feeling more and more like, gosh, you know, they got more than me, and here I am back like where I was a little kid, and everybody has more than me, and then all of a sudden, in just a moment, I felt the strength begin to rise in me. Because now after years, I've got some generosity under my belt. And I was like, wait a second. God gave me that house. And he's given me more than anything and everything I've ever needed. Look at what I've got. And in an instant, the peace returned. In an instant. See, generosity, the indirect byproduct, is financial peace. Because I change. And I can move through life differently. And that's the bottom line. Is where's my focus? Look in your notes. You can write the very last thing, the bottom line. Find out if God is faithful. Can I trust him? If I really decide to receive his grace and trust that, is he faithful? Or am I going to keep trying to get all that I can get by myself? Am I going to store up all my money so I can feel like I'm ready for anything that happens? I don't know if you remember this. Maybe some of you might. When I was a kid, they used to have this thing called the Tide Challenge. And they would go into a store, and they, you know, somebody would be buying some detergent, and they'd stop her and or him and say, hey, no, you got to get Tide. Tide can clean anything. And they're like, oh, yeah. Right. No, listen, you got to. All we're asking is that you try it. Just try it. And so they'd, you know, get their clothes all dirty, and they put the Tide in there. I don't know if you they do it today, but far differently, and I wanted you to see it. Check this out. This is today's version of the Tide Challenge. Check this out.
Hello, I'm Gavin from the Slow Mo Guys. Tide recently challenged us to ruin a brand new lab coat. Obviously, made Dan wear it. I don't want to get that kind of mess on me.
Look at this. It's almost too bright for my eyes.
Yeah. Now, enjoy the cleanliness for a moment. Oh. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, lovely.
All right, now we're going to get it really dirty and see if they can wash it out. We messed it up pretty good.
Mother!
All right, Dan, you got your goggles on?
Yeah, my body is
excellent.
Ready.
Excellent, here we go. So I blasted him with ketchup.
Ooh. Whoa. Yeah, that was really direct, actually.
That is lovely.
Look at that.
Look at you. I hit him with chocolate pudding.
Nailed me.
I can't believe it knocked your goggles off.
It's not. I'm shot it knocked the goggles off and straight in my face.
And I hit him with mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Directly in the face!
You just turned a completely different colour.
Oh, man. Oh, that is gross.
Made an absolute dog's dinner of the lab coat.
Well, it's now up to Tide to try and get this lab coat clean.
Yeah, thanks to you, they've got their work cut out.
They do indeed.
I don't have any stock in Tide, so I'm not saying to use Tide. That's not the point. But here's what they would do. They would just show up and they would say, try it. Try it and see what happens. God has done a similar challenge in the Bible. And that's what I want to end with today. Let me read it to you. It's in your notes. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Try it. Let me prove it to you. It's God's way of it's just a challenge. He's saying, give it a try. See if he's faithful. Try a trust step. Maybe you've never been a giver. You don't have anything. You're not generous. Tip a little more next time. When you go into the coffee shop and you see the little jar there and you think, they get paid, put a little something in there. You know, when you're at the restaurant and just, you know, set some money aside and just keep it there and just say, this is my generosity money. And when I have an opportunity, I'm just going to give it away. I remember one day, I came to a corner and there was a young, I had to have been 5 degrees out. There was a young woman there in a cotton dress. That's all she had on, cotton dress. Freezing cold outside. I'm in a line and car after car is going by her, and God had told me to bring my money that day. And I had it just like in a big plastic, like grocery bag. And I mean, it was so amazing to drive up to her and just roll the window down and just hand it to her and see her face. No strings attached. I don't know what you're going to do with it. And honestly, that's none of my business. God wants you to have it. The challenge. See what happens for you. See if the financial peace in your life doesn't go up if you become generous. If you're a giver, maybe you give when you come in. You put a little in here and there. You know, try tithing. Remember, tithing was designed to keep us close to God. Not to be pressured into something. Try it.